So teaching people how they can learn about their systems, how they can connect better with their bodies, because a lot of what we experience with eating disorders is kind of that disconnect. We almost become numb to ourselves. So it's about regaining information that you have within and learning how to capture that and cultivate more of a trusting relationship with your body.
Welcome to The Art and Science of Eating. I'm Jessica Begg, registered dietitian and clinical counselor. I worked for 15 years in programs for the treatment of eating disorders. I now help those that struggle with emotional eating and their relationship with their body. This podcast is where I answer questions to help people along this bumpy journey to creating peace with both food and their body. Hey there, and welcome back. This week, I got a chance to talk to Dr. Kelly Kessler. She's a physical therapist and a certified strength and conditioning specialist that within her company, Optimal You, she specializes in helping people that are recovering from an eating disorder also heal from chronic pain. I love this talk because we have such a health halo around exercise and activity. People don't actually really see that overactivity can have a really negative consequence on both our mental and physical health. So in this episode, Kelly tells me about the work that she does with those with chronic pain and about her journey to the work that she does. All right, so let's jump on in. Hi, Kelly. Thank you so much for coming on to the podcast.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Tell me about you. Tell us about you.
Sure. Yeah. So I'll kind of tell, currently I work with women who have eating disorders and chronic pain. And how I got into that is that it's more of a personal journey for me. So
yeah,
I had an eating disorder for several years, and through a lot of work on myself, I overcame that. And then after I kind of was on the recovery phase of that, I found myself in a position of having chronic back pain. So I kind of went through one life struggle of, that consumed my life for years. And then just when I feel like I'm in a better place, now I'm dealing with this pain that then kind of took away all the things I enjoyed.
Oh no.
Yeah. So that then became my journey of, how do I heal myself? And that's really been, my mission once I kind of developed that pain. And, there are a lot of days of like feeling hopeless where like, I was 25 at the time and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm 25 with like excruciating pain, and how am I going to recover from this? And, it took me many years and a lot of learning to kind of figure out what worked. And now I'm using that to fuel my passion in helping others in similar situations.
Amazing. Amazing. Does your work focus mainly on people that are struggling with eating disorders or the chronic pain, or is it the nexus of both?
It's primarily people with chronic pain, but definitely a combination of both. So there's actually a lot of commonalities between eating disorders and chronic pain in that it significantly impacts our neurological system. Mm. So, when we're going through an eating disorder, we have a lot of that anxiety and shame and a lot of negative thoughts that go through our head. And what happens is that then triggers this overactivation of our nervous system, which then manifests as physical symptoms, including like tension, inflammation, and hypersensitivity to things that may not normally be painful.
Right.
So I work on both, primarily people who are in more of the recovery phase of eating disorders, but then have more of this chronic pain.
Chronic pain. And I suppose it also goes the other direction too, in terms of the body having a lot of pain and somebody trying to manage their pain through food, and then it may be transpiring and kind of going into a slippery slope of an eating disorder too. So there's kind of two ways that, yeah. Great. Tell me about the exercise side in terms of, because you've kind of linked that. Could you tell me more about what you understand in terms of exercise and disordered eating?
Sure. You mean as far as how that's used for disordered eating, or
more recovery phase? Yeah, tell us about the recovery phase.
Sure. Yeah. So a lot of the anxiety we experience throughout an eating disorder, there can be a lot of emotional trauma from that. You know, there's a lot going on in our heads when we have an eating disorder. It could be past trauma that we're kind of coping through that eating disorder, or we're suppressing some of that emotion and it manifests as that behavior. So when we have a lot of that emotional state built up and a lot of anxiety, it can actually manifest physically, which are called habitual anxiety patterns. So our bodies start moving in ways that we may not even be aware of. So we may have tensions and we may be changing our movement patterns and we may be interacting with our environment in ways that are different than we would have done prior. And when we do that over and over and over again, because it's a habit, now we're compromising our physical systems. So there's a very, it's very intertwined, our emotional state and our physical state. So the way I like to help people with the chronic pain is actually let's work on that physical state and kind of get more into that emotional state through healthier movement patterns. So teaching people how they can learn about their systems, how they can connect better with their bodies, because a lot of what we experience with eating disorders is kind of that disconnect. We almost become numb to ourselves. So it's about regaining information that you have within and learning how to capture that and cultivate more of a trusting relationship with your body.
Right. And that's such a key component there too. It's trusting your body, isn't it, around exercise.
Absolutely.
Exercise has, and I know you're kind of linking in chronic pain in this, but I want to go back into the exercise bit a little bit, but because exercise has such a real like it's so it's like cultivated in terms of having a real health halo. It doesn't like disordered connections in and around exercise doesn't necessarily is as obvious as food, I find. What do you think about that in terms of how we view exercise and how it contributes to eating disorders in that way?
Yeah, 100%. That was my personal journey. It was that with my eating disorder, my personal eating disorder was more of that binging and then kind of purging through exercise. So I was over-exercising to very unhealthy limits there. So when I was in the thick of my eating disorder, I had a very unhealthy relationship with exercise. It was a means to control the calories I was taking in. It was a job. It was something I needed to do. And it was something that I really felt like I had no choice. Like, this is what I need to do because it had consumed, every thought. I woke up, how am I going to fit my exercise in? And that was my priority. And now, looking hindsight on my relationship with exercise, it's like night and day. So I still exercise. I enjoy exercise. I just did a triathlon a few months ago. So, and I do it for enjoyment. I do it for health. I do it because it makes me feel good. And that took me many years to make that transition from where I perceived exercise to be a job to where I actually enjoy it. And I kind of had to almost remove myself from it in order to learn how to have a healthy relationship with it.
To do it, trusting your body, to understanding your body and doing it for enjoyment, like is what you're saying.
Yes, absolutely.
And it's so hard because there's so much guilt and shame wrapped in and around exercise and whether or not how we're doing it, how much we're doing it.
And I think, when we talk about the fitness industry, it's always like, you should do this, you should do this. And there's so many contradictions in what you should do. And if you listen to everything people tell you, it's overwhelming. You feel like you're just never going to be good enough because you can never, no one could physically do the demands of what they expect you to do if you listen to everyone. So it's about, listening to people, but also knowing your body well enough to know what works for you personally.
And that experience with exercise, even I find with a spectrum of how people have had a relationship with exercise can dictate even the way that they approach it during recovery. And I find that there's a real trauma effect with some people in that they've
felt, even in smaller orders, maybe they're not doing it as much as somebody that could be more obviously over-exercising, but they feel like the pressures to perform has made them resist doing exercise at all after when they're kind of looking to that phase. And I know it's really, just like you said, it's really nice to take a real break from it and to start creating a new relationship. But I find sometimes people really don't want to exercise anymore. And they, part of them does and knows that movement is really important, but it's just this, I find trauma, like that they don't want to go there. What do you think about that? Or how do you approach somebody with that? Even with chronic pain too, because I would imagine painful, being in pain and moving and being tired from chronic pain would be also part of this struggle.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think with both, you know, points you brought up, you know, people with eating disorders who use exercise or people with chronic pain, it seems kind of crazy to be like, oh, here, let's use movement, you know, and they have such an aversion to that, you know, how could we possibly use that as a way of healing? But it's more about the way in which you do it. And it's about listening to your body and never going to the point of pain. So even if it's a very, very small movement, anything that essentially feels good, then you start there. And then that opens the door essentially for your nervous system to kind of relax. So, it's never that, you know, typical, let's do 3 sets of 10 of this and go through the full range and no pain, no gain. That will never help anyone heal. And so it's about how we do that. And what I like to do too is work on relaxation techniques. So working on deep breathing with movement. So now we can teach our bodies that this is not a threat movement. It's more about how can we make this joyful again? And how can we make it a calming situation. So nothing is to the point where it would be like when you're using it for like compensatory behaviors or more like those fitness industry standards where you have to hit a certain weight. It's more just about listening to your body and kind of what it's telling you. And pain's a big communicator. You know, when we have pain, it's telling us something's off balance. And a lot of times we look at pain in our bodies and we treat ourselves almost like an enemy, you know, where how dare you, you know, be painful with everything you do. But what pain is, it's our body's voice. And if we continue to ignore it, it'll only get louder. And that's what happens with chronic pain, that if we keep suppressing it or not address it, it'll only yell louder. So
right, I see. I really like that. I like the idea of starting with relaxation stuff to just reconnect with the body again. So to explore what are the possibilities of movement. Yeah, that sounds great. With chronic pain, because that is an interesting idea, is that, you know, chronic pain is chronic. And if somebody had pain throughout movement, and you're saying pain gives us messages, how would you address that?
If they're having pain with all movement?
Yeah. Like I'm kind of imagining somebody say with something like chronic fatigue, and you know, movement is always somewhat tiring, let's say, how would you approach that scenario?
Yeah, I think at that point, maybe not even starting with movement, maybe working with what is our neurological system doing first? And, you know, not even maybe getting the movement down at, you know, just working on breath work, working on stimulating the vagus nerve, which is really important for eliciting that parasympathetic response, which is our rest, digest, restore, using different methods to kind of allow the nervous system to kind of open up. So I kind of compare our, you know, chronic pain to like a really good guard dog, you know, so you can't get anywhere near it or it's going to bite you, you know, so it's constantly protecting the system. And that's what our nervous system does, is protect us. It's on edge, you know, when we have chronic pain. But if we can just kind of ease into it and give that guard dog a little treat and then kind of back off, let it trust us, give it another treat the next day and it trusts us a little bit more. If we keep doing that little step pattern, then all of a sudden the guard dog becomes a puppy and then we can really delve into it. So it's kind of like that easing into it where, you know, we allow the nervous system to dictate how quickly we're moving through, how slowly we move through, rather than forcing anything.
Yeah. I love that analogy. That's so great. Yeah. Good. Oh, that's good. So now, in terms of your work, how do you work with your clients? Can you tell us a little bit about how people could access you and what working with you might look like?
Sure. Yeah. So I currently have one-on-one programs, but I also do coaching programs where it's working groups. So I really believe in the power of support group system. So allowing people who are experiencing the same thing to connect. So I offer live weekly programs where I guide people weekly, but I also give homework assignments so that, you know, you can do a lot of that like self-care, recognizing what habits are not serving you and which ones are. And then offering that support group for people to connect with each other and support each other through that journey. Because a big thing, you know, I believe is that we should never be alone in this, you know, support is essential. So I include that in my programs as well, but I also do one-on-ones with people as well online.
Great. And,
I'm Instagram, on Facebook, but yeah, that's primarily where I can be found.
That's amazing, because I find it's really difficult to find people that understand that the body carries a lot of all these things that you're speaking of and how to manage that in really effective ways without harming people again.
Absolutely.
It's so important. Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like I've worked with a lot of people who have chronic pain in person. And I got very frustrated with the system because they felt like so many people were being dismissed or all their negatives were being highlighted. You know, this is wrong with you. This is wrong with you. And it was really hindering people's healing process. So, you know, my drive is to really flip the script on how we approach it, because I feel like a lot of people with chronic pain are unheard and feel unsupported, or that, you know, almost like they're making it up, you know? So, you know, I just really want to be an advocate for letting people know it is real and it can heal, and just to give people hope in that.
Oh, that's amazing. That's great. Thank you so much, Kelly, for all of your work and everything that you do. That's great.
Thank you so much.
Is there anything else that you think somebody might need to know or?
I think the biggest thing for me is that, and kind of going off of how we do things currently and why it's not working, is that, you know, chronic pain rates have increased significantly with people in the last decade, especially. And yet the costs of chronic pain treatments have gone up exponentially. So even though we have a lot of treatments, the rates are not changing. So the system is not working. And a big thing is that we treat mostly chronic pain with opioids. And so now we have this opioid epidemic, but what that is treating the symptom rather than the root cause. So it's almost like our bodies are on fire with this chronic pain and the alarms are going off. We're feeling the pain and we take that opioid, which just turns the alarm off. It doesn't put the fire out. So when the opioid wears off, now the fire has raged even beyond where it was previously. Yeah. And so that's why we're seeing this increase in rates of pain, despite all the cost that's being put into it. So I feel like there's really a lack of understanding in general in many medical professions of how do we actually manage chronic pain appropriately.
Yeah, this is great. I love that you're taking a really holistic approach and using strategies that we know that help our bodies in really positive ways that may have harmed others in other ways. So that we actually kind of go back to the basics of taking care of ourselves.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Great. And not feeling shameful about self-care.
Yes. Or even knowing what self-care is. I think that's exactly. Also a building block, is that people are like, I don't even know what self-care is because I've always done it this way.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think a lot of us, we get stuck. I've been in that position. You get stuck in ruts where you think you're doing things good. And then you realize your habits really are not serving what your ultimate goal is.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. Okay. Well, we're going to send everybody over to see you because this sounds wonderful.
Thank you so much. And I appreciate so much, you know, being able to kind of speak about what I do and being able to connect with you. So thank you again.
Thank you. Thank you. Talk again soon.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks, Kelly. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Your work is awesome.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
There's not many of you out there. that are doing this work, hey?
No, there isn't. I actually haven't found anyone yet. I've been, I kind of started this about a year and a half ago, and you know, I was just working with people with chronic pain. Then I was like, you know, I have not really told that many people about my eating disorder until maybe the last year. Even though I've recovered many years ago, but it's been very kind of like, I didn't want to disclose that to many people. So it's been almost like an extra little journey of healing for me to be like, wow, like that was my journey. And how can I
get
people to, you know, I know there's people in similar situations, and how can I help those people? Cause I think a lot of people don't understand the connection. And for me, it's like my pain erupts every time I have a stressful situation. So it's definitely very connected.
You know, you're tapping, you're leaving a massive untapped resource of people that need your support. And I think that having had an eating disorder creates such an extra basis of like knowledge that would be so helpful for people. So I would say, you know, tell everybody that you're journey, because it is so meaningful for people that are in recovery or working on recovery to see somebody that has, because they really do understand. So,
absolutely. And I think it's like almost like, you know, eating disorders become such a secretive thing, and then chronic pain has become so stigmatized that when you have both, you're like, oh my gosh.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's great. Oh, that's great. When, where are you physically? I can't remember now.
In New Jersey.
And you're okay. Okay. Lovely.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
And where are you located?
I'm in Vancouver in Canada. On the West Coast.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Awesome. I know I've taken a look at your work, but you do a lot of like holistic nutrition, I've seen, right?
And yeah. Like trying my best, you know, there's a lot of kind of, holistic nutrition. Yeah, I guess so. I guess my nutrition is holistic as exercises. Hey, but trying to take a holistic approach for sure to help people get feeling a little bit cooler around food. That's for sure.
I love that. I think, you know, it's just, you know, just embracing, you know, that self-care message is like so crucial. So I think the more that we can all advocate for that, the better the world will be.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Especially with the rise in eating disorders too. And certainly the chronic pain, I think both of these things are interrelated. So
definitely.
Yeah. But thank you so much for coming on. And
thank you so much. And thanks, I really appreciate being able to connect to you. This has been awesome.
Yeah, me too. I really appreciate you coming on, and I loved hearing about what you're doing.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. Thanks. Take care.
Thanks. Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye. Bye.
If you'd like to come on the show to have me answer your question live, or you have a question you'd like me to answer on my own on the show, email me at support@shiftnutrition.ca. Looking forward to chatting with you all. See you next week. This podcast is for education and information purposes only. Please consult your own healthcare team to discuss what is right for you and your care.